Well, I'll tell you, church family, you outdid yourself on that one. We got a mini concert for our Easter service, and praise the Lord, what a blessing. I mean, if you're blessed by that, you got to say amen again. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, as you are here sitting in the pew, and as we said before, we're praying for our pastor. He is in the hospital waiting till Monday, resting comfortably, desiring to be here. And on Friday, when I received the text, and pastors is so gracious. If you don't know pastor, if you're a guest with us, you've got to come back and meet our pastor. He is gracious. He is humble. He's a great guy. And so when he texted me, he said, "Yo, Bob, I feel so bad." He goes, I sent you an email. He sent me an email of all his notes for the weekend. The mind of Ron Allen was sitting in my email. And as I looked over that and I was praying about, okay, what would the Lord have me to preach on Sunday morning? And as I went over there, there was his sermon notes and his study and his extensive study. And I just had a blessing reading over his message and the burden that God had laid on him. And then I looked, I started studying a little bit. I just didn't get any peace. And I asked him, I'm going to use your message. This is what God had laid on our pastor's heart to share with us. So I want to share it with you. I've preached it to myself about 7 times right now. So it's like that old show back in the 80s or 70s, putting on the hits. It's going to be like lip syncing, all right? So as you have your Bibles out there, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. It says this, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." But then we have verse 20. "But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept?" This morning we're going to look at a message entitled, "What if there was no resurrection?" What if there was no resurrection? We've heard of the old Christmas movie of A Wonderful Life and what it would be like going through there, that the character, if he was never born, what that fictional story would have been like. But here Paul takes this even before A Wonderful Life, and as he's talking to the Corinthians, inspired by God, he brings a message to them saying, okay, let's think about this. If you're struggling with this, let's think about this. What if there was no resurrection? What if there was no resurrection? That's going to be the title of the message this morning. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us to open our eyes to his word and to take this word deep into our hearts. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather together, and I pray that even as we have this time to go over this message you laid on the heart of our pastor, that you'd help me to communicate your truth. Father, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for the prayers that have been given. But even as we come this morning, our desire is to worship you. And once again, knowing this is Resurrection Sunday, a time where we truly focus on Easter, truly a time where we can always remind ourselves that the grave is empty, our Savior is risen, and because of that, our faith is not in vain. Our preaching is not in vain. Our hope is not in vain. Father, I pray you'd in our hearts in our lives as we look at this passage. And maybe there's someone here today that wrestles with what if there is no resurrection? May we examine your word and find that answer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the statistics are stunning. 100 out of 100 people will die. We all have the same terminal illness, which is called death. Even after doctors try everything they can do, philosophers try to tell us it's just a natural part of life, and even as some struggle with what is going to happen, we do know this, that everybody in this room eventually, one day, will die. Whether it's planned, whether it's accidental, whether it's painful, whether it's not painful, we are all going to face death. In fact, it was Emma Morano. She died April 15th, 2017, at 117 years of age. She was the longest living human and the last human being left who was born in the 1800s. Eventually, we all die. But then that comes the question, what happens after death? What is going to take place once we die? So what happens? What do we face after death? In fact, there's only two places we can turn to for answers. One is mankind. Mankind comes up with ideas, philosophies. They stretch anything they can, and they come up with these kind of ideas. One is called soul sleep. The body dies and disintegrates, and the soul or spirit rests. Another one of man's ideas is annihilation, utterance extinction after death. Nothing human or physical survives after death. Some believe in reincarnation. The soul or spirit is continually recycled from one form to another. Then there's absorption. I've never heard of this one. The soul, or at least part of it, is absorbed back into the divine mind or being. These are the guesses of men. But when it comes to looking at another place for the answers, therefore we can go to the Bible to find out what our Creator, who wrote a book, will tell us the answer of what happens after death. Even as you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 through 20, one thing we come in here is that the answer to death, according to the Bible, is very simple. And it's this. What happens after you die depends on what happens before you die. What happens after you die depends on what happens before you die. Now, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. As you're in the book of Corinthians, this book was written to a church at Corinth. They were a group of believers that were trying to live a godly life in a community, trying to share forth the gospel, but they struggled with all kinds of things. It is not a perfect place. In chapter 15, we come to the section where we find out even some of those under the preaching of Paul, they wrestled with the question, what if there's no resurrection? What's going to happen after we die? Even though in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, and in the rest of the writings in the New Testament, it shows clearly there is a resurrection for those who believe. Here comes in the point where Paul is going to say, okay, fine, let's do this. Let's go with the question of what if there is no resurrection? And then Paul comes through there, and he's going to show us this. He gives us about 7 consequences, 4 theological, 3 practical, and then we have a final truth. So as we look at this and you want to take down some notes, this will be good, again, because this is pastor's outline. Amen? Okay. All right, first of all, on the theological consequences of no resurrection, look there in verses 13 through 15, where Paul says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is also vain, yea, And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Here's the first consequence is this. Christ is not risen. In verse 13 it says, then Christ is not risen. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If the dead cannot rise, Christ did not rise. Some would argue that Christ was not really a human being. He was a divine being. He appeared to be human. So when he died on the cross, he appeared to die on the cross. The only problem with that is the Bible shows that is clearly false, that Jesus was fully man and fully God. In fact, as you look in the Gospel of Luke, one of the first appearances that the disciples had after the resurrection is that Jesus, he appeared to them and they touched him. Not only touched them, they grabbed a hold of his feet. In fact, he even asked them, give me some food, and so he could eat, and he would show them, I am human. I am real. This is not just being divine. He is real. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus says of himself, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Listen to that again. He says, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. When Peter preached at Pentecost, he told them that Christ was crucified, and then he said, but God raised him from the dead. God did not only make Christ appear human because he was fully human. He physically lived and died, and I love the fact that we say this, he lived again. If there's no such thing as the resurrection, then Christ is not risen. That's the first consequence. The second theological consequence is this. The preaching of the gospel is meaningless. Look there in verse 14. Then is our preaching vain. Isn't it hard to believe that there are some churches and some seminaries that do not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Savior? Over their doors should be written this, their preaching is vain because they have no message of Christ for a sin-cursed and dying world. In fact, if we did not have the resurrection, our preaching is vain. We would come in here after breakfast and kind of sit there and go, hey, that was a pretty good breakfast. You know, how much did you eat? I saw somebody go up for like thirds. You know, and then how many went up for, I don't want to know that right now. But if we looked at this and said, when it comes to the matter of no resurrection, the other theological consequence is that our preaching is vain. Apart from the resurrection, Jesus could not have conquered sin or death or hell. Those three great evils still would be conquering you and me. Without the resurrection, the good news would be bad news. There would be nothing worth preaching. Unless our Lord conquered sin and death, making a way for men to follow in that victory, there is no gospel to proclaim. There is no resurrection. Then Christ is not risen. The preaching of the gospel is meaningless. And thirdly, faith in Christ is worthless. Faith in a resurrectionless gospel would be vain. The word vain means to be empty, fruitless, void, no purpose, void of effect. A dead Savior could not give life. If the dead do not rise, Christ did not rise, and we will not rise. Have you ever thought about this, that there's no resurrection of the dead? All those heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 would just be the hall of the foolish. Listen to these characters. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, the list goes on, would have been faithful for nothing. They would have been mocked, scourged, imprisoned, stoned, afflicted, ill-treated, and put to death for nothing. Believers of all ages would have believed for nothing, lived for nothing, died for nothing. If there is truly no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. Christ is not risen. and our faith in Christ is worthless. And then fourth and final of the theological consequences, look at verse 15. It says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that he did not rise. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then all the witnesses are liars. All of you that are trying to share Christ, your faith in Christ with others, are liars if there's no resurrection. Look there in chapter 15 at verses 5 and 6. In verses 5 and 6, look at these witnesses. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen above 500 brethren. All these witnesses, if Christ did not raise from the dead, if there is no resurrection, then they're all liars. In fact, take your Bible and go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts in chapter 2. Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, then we should just take the book of Acts and tear it right out. Because in here, what you're going to see is constantly, Paul is speaking, as Peter is speaking, as Luke is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. Here's what happened, and we are witnesses. In fact, it starts in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, that when Jesus told the disciples, after he rose from the dead, he said this, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye all are witnesses of these things. And witnesses they were. I love the fact we can end the Gospels that we see a group of disciples. They're afraid, they're questioning, and they're wondering. And then we get to the book of Acts, and they light the world on fire. Everything has changed. In fact, you and I are sitting here today because somebody was given the gospel. They were burdened to give the gospel to us. When I was 9 years old at a camp called Anna's Camp up in Mishawaka, Indiana, a guy had apparently got the short straw and had to give a devotional to the nine-year-old boys. We basically held hostage every counselor we had. As he came in and he would share the gospel with us, he talked about the rapture, that one day the trumpet will blow. Those who know Christ will go up into the clouds and meet the Savior. Those who don't will stay. I'm in the back corner. My name's Bob Brenneman. I was the son of Laud and Mary Jean Brenneman, pillars of the assembly at Emmanuel Baptist Church. But in that corner, I sat there and realized as a nine-year-old boy, I'm not saved. My brother is saved. My parents are saved. But I'm not saved. And because of that man came in, sat against the cabin door so we couldn't escape, gave the devotional, and in the dark, in my green bedroll, I cried out to Jesus to save me. I praise the Lord that that man was a witness and gave the gospel to me. The fact that even in here, as you work with our children, realizing this, that if you ever say, is there any unsaved people here? Very good chance our children's ministry. Some children have not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, and we need those that will work in that ministry to give the gospel to them, to live the gospel to them. Here as we look in the book of Acts, looking there in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, charging the Jews with their guilt, he boldly said this, look at verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. There it is again. Go to chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. When Peter healed the lame man, the crowd gathered to see what he was going to say. And what would Peter say is this in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Go to Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. Acts 5, 29 through 32. After they experienced a supernatural deliverance from prison, the apostles found themselves again before the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, that said, you need to stop this. But they kept sharing the message of Christ being raised from the dead. And then they would say this. And if you don't have this marked in your Bible, you ought to mark this in your Bible. If your neighbor doesn't have it marked in their Bible, just reach over there and underline it for them. In Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Go to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is moved to go give the gospel to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile who was burdened and was seeking after God. He was doing everything he can to know the truth, and then God sent Peter to him, and Peter is going to preach to him the gospel. He says there in verses 38 through 40, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they show and hanged on a tree, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. In fact, when Paul went in Acts 13, go over there to verses 28 through 31, as Paul went into Antioch on the Sabbath day to preach the gospel to the Jews, he did what he usually did in the synagogue. He rehearsed the history of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah and how they were fulfilled in Jesus. He said this because he said, here's the gospel, here was it said in the Old Testament, and here's what the Jewish leaders did, and he says, this is what's going to happen. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. In fact, go to Acts chapter 26, because anytime Paul then, as he was judged and put before all these different judges, he would give forth this message that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, as he would say before the Sanhedrin, before Felix, before Festus, not the guy from Gunsmoke, but he's in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, before Agrippa, to whom he was asked, in verses 26, chapter 26, verse 8, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? No wonder when Paul got to chapter 15, he gives the great resurrection chapter for this body of believers that was struggling to say, what's going to happen after we die? And he comes, because Christ was raised from the dead, it has changed everything. In fact, everyone who has ever preached the risen Christ, if there is no resurrection, is a liar. But people do not die to preserve a lie. Many of these witnesses and preachers of the resurrection were maligned, were beaten, were imprisoned, and often martyred. But as we look at this theological consequences, let's look at the personal consequences. Here, if we look at that and we say, okay, this theologically, it fits. But now, where does the rubber meet the road? What about you and I? The first one is found in verses 16 and 17. It says this, if there's no resurrection, ye are yet in your sins. You and I are still in our sins. For those of us who came this morning at the sunrise service, just the blessing of reading Matthew 28, the whole chapter, and realizing how gloomy it was at the beginning, how the women that came to the tomb were depressed, wondering what is going on, what is going to happen now, and all of a sudden finding out that his body is not there, he is risen. And as the spirit starts to change, even as we gave testimonies of saying that because Christ raised from the dead, our sins can be forgiven. We're not wrestling with that guilt. We're not carrying that heavy burden. One time we had a lady in our church who was so burdened about her husband. He wasn't saved. He had professed when he was younger, but he did not show any fruit in his life. He had come to church one time, and as he came to church, and he was just talking with his wife, they were walking out, he turned around and said, "Hey, can I come talk to you sometime? Can I just come by and I want to talk to you about salvation?" Well, you say that to a preacher, what do you think I went, "Let me see if I got time"? It was, "No, let's go, come on in." He came in the next couple days, and I said, let me just show what the Bible says about salvation. Because he said, "You know, as younger, I walked an aisle, I was kind of playing a game. I knew it wasn't true," but he's been watching his wife live a faithful life. And he said, "I know I need Christ." So I shared the gospel with him. And as I shared the gospel with him, I said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And he said, yes. He called out to God to forgive him of his sins, to come into his life. And all of a sudden, as we got done praying, he looked at me and he said, "I feel like a burden has rolled off my back." And I was thinking, praise the Lord. The next couple days, he got sick. He had to go in the hospital. And the problem was, he always had to go in the hospital. He had different challenges. Habits that he had developed over his life would come back to haunt him. He'd go in the hospital. Hated the hospital. His family told me, he hates the hospital. Don't visit him because he hates everyone in the hospital. Well, all of a sudden, I was talking to his son, his married son, who was in our church. And he said, "I will tell you what, my dad is saved." He said, "We went to see him in the hospital, and he is a changed man. He was happy. In fact, he took all the grandkids, and he shared the gospel with all the grandkids." And everybody I talked to, even his wife, said, "I am so thrilled. He is truly saved. We can serve the Lord together." That was on Friday. They told me on Sunday, they said, "He's coming home tomorrow. He gets to come home tomorrow." Monday morning, I got the call. And his son said, "Dad is going home, but he's going home to heaven." We didn't see it coming. The doctors didn't see it coming. But he is in heaven now. Having the opportunity to do his funeral, I had more people that came up to me that had seen him the last week of his life saying, "What a change." One of the stories was the fact that his brother had led him to the Lord. He was an older man now. I met his brother at the funeral, and his brother came up to me. He said, "I just want you to know, I knew he didn't mean it when he was younger, but talking to this last week, realizing he truly knows Christ as his Savior." You know, just thinking about that time where he said this, "I feel like my sins have just rolled off my back, this heavy burden." Praise the Lord, we don't have to carry that heavy burden anymore. Praise the Lord that because Christ rose from the dead, our sins have been forgiven and our sins are gone, and we don't have to live in our sin anymore. The second consequence is in verse 18. It says, "They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." The fallen asleep phrase was a common euphemism for death. In fact, knowing this, even looking around here, we know those are loved ones that have passed on. And if Christ was not raised from the dead, if there was no resurrection, then all our loved ones would have perished. But praise the Lord, that's not true. The third consequence would be this. You and all Christians are most miserable people on earth. You and all Christians are the most miserable people on earth. Look at verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." In the light of these other consequences, the last is rather obvious. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men to be most pitied. Without the resurrection and the salvation, the blessing it brings, Christianity would be pointless and pitiable. We would have no Savior, no forgiveness, no gospel, no meaningful faith, no life, no hope of any of these things. Even as we would come this morning, we had 110 show up for our sunrise service right out there. The reason we came is once again to think back of that time when Christ was risen from the dead. The grave was empty. Life has been changed. When we came for Good Friday, that was a dark time. Christ was crucified. For those who didn't know the scripture, it was a dark time. But it was Friday, and Sunday was coming. And as we come this morning, we get to have this opportunity to celebrate Easter, to celebrate a risen Savior. And therefore, our faith is not pointless. In fact, we are not most miserable people on earth. But all of a sudden, when it comes to problems and challenges, just as we said, the resurrection of the Savior shows forth the power of God that He can do anything in our lives. So with this, as we look at the theological consequences, the personal consequences, now let's look at the truth of the gospel. Because even as we would look at this and it seems like there's a lot of things adding up, all of a sudden Paul in one verse destroys all those arguments. Right there in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Can you imagine those that as they would hear this and see this coming from God's own word, that all of a sudden there is hope? The truth of the resurrection is this: Jesus rose from the dead. All other religions are vain. All false religion preaching is vain. Here we have the truth. Amen? And we can truly come in and say, He is risen. In fact, as we look at this, in verse 19, as Paul comes there, I'm glad he didn't stop there, aren't you? Glad chapter 15 didn't stop at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But then he hits verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Before the Israelites harvested their crops, they were to bring a representative sample called the first fruits to the priest as an offering to the Lord. The whole full harvest of the crop could not be made until the first fruits had been offered. The picture here is that Christ's resurrection, which we celebrate here at Easter, was the first fruit of the resurrection harvest of the believing dead. The first fruits preceded full harvest, but also guaranteed full harvest. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have a guarantee. So we have this in conclusion. Because Christ rose from the dead, none of these consequences are true. Here's the part you participate, right? When we sang and Rob said, okay, you're going to sing a part of this, I won't make you stand. And all you got to do is say one word and say amen, okay? So I'll give you the number, I'll give you the phrase, just say amen afterwards. It should be obvious, okay? Because Christ rose from the dead, none of these consequences are true for us. Number one, Christ did rise. Amen. Number two, preaching the gospel is not meaningless, but meaningful. Amen. Faith in Christ is not vain, it is vital. Amen. Proclaimers of the resurrection are not false witnesses, but truth tellers. Men are not forever dead in their sins, but can be freed from their sins. Number six, saints who have died previously have not eternally perished, but are eternally secure. Amen. Christians are not the most miserable people on earth, but the most blessed people on earth. Amen. An old preacher from England named Spurgeon said this: the resurrection of our divine Lord from the dead is the cornerstone of Christian doctrine. Perhaps I might more accurately call it the keystone of the arch of Christianity. For if the fact could be disproved, the whole fabric of the gospel would fall to the ground. The resurrection of Christ from the dead is a fact better attested than any event in any history, ancient or modern. Christ indeed rose from the dead. Now there is, however, another resurrection. Listen to John 5, verse 28 through 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You and I will live somewhere forever. Are you ready to live with Christ? So back to the question we asked at the beginning. What happens after we die? Well, the Bible clearly tells us that what happens after you die depends on what happens before you die. If before you die, you recognize that you are a sinner and that Christ paid a price for you that you could never pay, and that as you call on Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, you can become a child of God, and then you can enjoy the power of the resurrection, then you will live with Him forever. It is a blessing to see that we celebrate today that Jesus has victory over death. And when it comes to the question, what if there was no resurrection? It is put away by verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen? I'm going to have Rob come up and close us with a song. And as he closes us with a song, I want you to keep in mind that during this time as we sing, if God has been working on your heart, if you've realized, I don't know Christ as my Savior, I didn't realize the resurrection was that important, and because of that resurrection, I can have my sins forgiven, I can have a purpose in living, I can experience the fact that I will have a home in heaven, that can happen to you today.